Now I'd like you to notice in verse 1 of our text that we have the very first birth recorded in Scripture. And we're going to see in the context here, we're going to see a series of firsts. First birth, first family, the first act of worship among human beings, the first call to repentance, and then the first murder. So let's think about the first birth here for a second. I know from personal experience that the birth of a child is an awesome experience. When our daughter Grace was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I was by Laura's side and assisted in the delivery. In fact, I was the first one to catch her when she exited the womb. I also cut the umbilical cord after Grace was delivered. Now, I know some guys would probably faint at the sight of childbirth, but to me, it was awesome. Now, I'm sure some of the same feelings were experienced by Adam and Eve when Cain was born, and also when his brother Abel was born. We aren't told, but it's possible, okay? This is just sanctified imagination, but it's possible that Cain and Abel were twins and born at the same time because it's only mentioned that Eve conceived once and then the two brothers were born, Cain being the firstborn. Now in Scripture, many times the names of individuals are descriptive of their character. The name Cain means to acquire or to create. I believe it's a play on words on what his mother, Eve, says when he was born, that she acquired a male child. The name Abel means vapor or breath. It's perhaps a foreshadowing of Abel's shortened life. The Bible teaches us that our lives are like vapor. We appear a little while and then we die. Life is too short and eternity is too long to ignore the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, not only do we see the first birth, but we also see the first family. The first family recorded in Scripture. In verse 2, we see that. We have Adam and his wife Eve, and two sons, Cain and Abel. Now notice the simple structure here, husband, wife, children. Now we live in a time in the West where this concept of family is under attack. In my country, the Supreme Court thought they had the authority to declare that marriage could be between two men and two women. But it is God who declares what is real and what is not real. It is God who determines what is a family and what is marriage. Both marriage and family are the creation of God. And He defines what is real, what is not. So what should our attitude be toward those that live in opposition to this? Well, I think we should love people who live in that lifestyle. I think we should pray for them. I think we should look for ways to show kindness to them. But don't ask me to agree with that lifestyle. Don't ask me to agree that when two males are living together, that's somehow called marriage, or when two females live together, that's somehow called marriage. It's more like a mirage rather than a marriage. Now, we're not given any details about the childhood of either Cain or Abel. Sometimes you read Scripture and it just jumps from one event 20 years into the future to another event, and there's no details given. So we're given nothing, no details about their training, about their schooling, growing up in the first family on the planet Earth. Did they get along with each other? Or did they fight? Did they play tricks on one another? How many sisters did they have? Well, we're given none of this information. The text jumps from the record of their birth to their adult occupations. Now, for those of you who have children, you, You want the best for them, right? You have hopes and expectations. Adam and Eve had that for Cain and Abel. Remember in chapter 3 of Genesis, there was a promise given to Adam and his wife that after they had been placed under a curse and tossed out of paradise, there was a promise that was given by God in his infinite mercy to provide a deliverer in chapter 3, verse 15. The text reads, I, speaking of God, will put hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Now, Adam showed faith in God's promise by naming his wife Eve. You know, before the fall, she was called Isha, which is the Hebrew word for woman. But after the fall, Adam named his wife Eve, which means life giver. She was the one through whom the promised salvation would come. So I'm sure Adam and Eve must have counted the months, the weeks, the days until Cain was given birth and Eve held in her arms the one whom she and Adam possibly thought could be the deliverer. The promise of Genesis 3:15. What excitement that was. Yet they did not know that they held in their arms a little murderer. They did not have any clue as to what was going to happen in the tragic history of sin and the human race. But they had begun the first family. Now we've seen the first birth. We've seen the first family. I'd like you to notice also in chapter 4 here, the first recorded act of worship in Scripture among human beings. The first worship. Both Cain and Abel, now fully grown, come and present their offerings to the Lord. There's much detail that we would like to know, but the story suggests that there had been prior revelation from God to the family concerning the correct way of offering and sacrifice. The Hebrew reads there, literally, at the end of days, in verse 3, which perhaps means that God had revealed a particular time when sacrifices were to be offered. So we have to think that Cain and Abel had been instructed in these things by their father Adam. Cain, being a farmer, brought the fruit of the soil as his offering. Abel, being a shepherd, offered from the firstborn of the flock. Now, we don't know anything about what was involved in God's receiving the various offerings of Cain and Abel. We don't know what that might have looked like. Perhaps God sent down fire on the altar as he did on Elijah's altar on Mount Carmel. Abel's offering was accepted. Cain's was rejected. Now, the many things that are recorded in the book of Genesis that are troubling to modern minds, this story may be high on the list. You may think this seems unfair and unreasonable. I mean, Cain did his very best, didn't he? He did the best he could. But I think if we're comparing the offerings, we're looking in the wrong direction. We should be looking at the men who brought the offerings. The text says in verse 4 that the Lord had regard for Abel first and then his offering. The same thing is said about Cain. He had no regard for Cain first and then his offering. So I believe it. What is being revealed here is that it is the heart of the worshiper that God either accepts or rejects. Abel was a man of faith. Cain was a man of the flesh. Abel was of the seed of the woman. Cain of the seed of serpent, of the serpent. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says this: by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, yet he still speaks through his faith. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, we are warned about Cain, where John writes, that's 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 11, it is written, unlike Cain, who was of the evil one, murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. So here's the point of the story that should touch us very deeply. Because when God rejected Cain and his offering, he didn't turn around and just wipe his hands of Cain. He approached Cain. He engaged Cain with a series of questions beginning in verse 6. He asked Cain, why are you furious and why do you look despondent? If you do what is right, won't you be accepted? I want you to notice something very important here. Even though Cain had not said a word, God knew what was going on in his heart. Just like he knows what's going on in our hearts. Even though we don't speak a word, God knows what the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So we see in the text, first birth, first family, the first act of worship, and then we see the first call to repentance. God engaging with Cain, asking him a series of questions. He's calling Cain to repentance. Repentance is a change of heart and a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. A change of heart and a change of mind that leads us to a change of direction. And so God is giving Cain an opportunity to do what is right. He's calling him to fix what is wrong. The first message of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew is repent. Repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when Jesus says repent, I believe that he means for the whole of the Christian life to be a life of repentance. Repentance is not just a one-time activity. It is an activity that should mark the life of a believer. When God reveals to us that we're headed in the wrong direction, we change our heart, our mind, and our direction. Finally, God gives Cain a warning. He says, do what you know to be right, or you're going to be in a world of hurt. The cause of Cain's anger was sin, and sin was about to master him. Do we not have the same struggle, you and I? When sin is revealed, and we either give in or reject or resist. Notice how God speaks of sin here in verse 7. He says that sin is crouching at the door. It's likened to a wild animal or a demon, not some simple rule breaking, but it is personified here. Sin is crouching at the door. God tells Cain that he must rule over it. But how is that possible? We cannot do this by ourselves. The only one who can rule over sin is the one who is promised in chapter 3, verse 15, the promised deliverer, the promised serpent crusher, the seed of the woman. We know him today as the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to destroy the works of the devil and to set his people free. Would you rule over sin? Then you must be ruled by the one who came to set us free, the Lord Jesus. Now we've seen the first birth, the first family, the first act of worship, and God's call to Cain to repent, which is the first call to repentance in Scripture. But we also see, horribly so, the first murder. Unlike his brother Abel, Cain did not allow himself to be ruled by God, and by default, he was ruled by Satan, enslaved to the devil. There is no neutral territory here. You're either in God's family or you're in the devil's family. You're either ruled by God or you're ruled by Satan. And so sin had its way with Cain, and he became the first murderer. And by his activity of killing his brother, who was a believer, by the way, Abel became the first martyr in Scripture. Now, Cain did not commit murder in the heat of the moment, but rather, this is premeditated murder. This is what is called in American judicial system, murder in the first degree. Cain planned Abel's death and then carried it out. In verse 8, he says, "Let's go out in the field." And then when they were in the field, probably out of the sight of everybody, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. But realize this, Cain was not out of the sight of God. God knew exactly what was going on. God knew exactly what had happened and said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" God wasn't asking that question because he needed some new information. He was confronting Cain with his sin, the murder of his brother. Notice how Cain responds in the text. "I don't know. My brother's guardian." Now think how dark that reply is. Think how dark it is. God says, "Where's your brother?" "I don't know. Am I my brother's guardian?" It contains the first lie in the Bible. Cain denied knowing his brother's whereabouts, yet he knew exactly where his brother was. He was out there in the field laying dead. Sin had so spread in Cain's heart that not only did he lie, but he lied to God. Think about what had happened to his parents and how quickly sin had spread in less than one generation. Now, Cain's parents, Adam and Eve, they had tried to shift the blame for what they had done in the garden when they were confronted by God in chapter 3, but they basically told the truth. Here, Cain lies, and he lies to God. Isn't there a hint of cruelty here in Cain's response? I was visiting yesterday with my Pakistani friend, and he was lamenting about the loss of respect and the value of human life among some of the younger generation. Well, Cain had become so infected by sin that he lost all respect and value of his brother's life. By being the first murderer in the Bible, Cain also made Abel the first martyr. How so? Abel died for his faith. I'd like to close with three particular verses of Scripture from the New Testament, which I've read two of them already. 1 John 3:12 says, "Unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. And then Jude, in that short little letter, in verse 11 says this, "Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and they have plunged into Balaam's error for profit and have perished in Korah's rebellion." And then the statement that is given in chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 4, "By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man, because God approved his gifts. And even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith." So I would appeal with every one of you that can hear here today in this building, as well as those that are watching by live stream, reject the way of Cain. Reject it. Follow the way of Abel, who, even though he was murdered, God said that he was a righteous man. The text says that Abel still speaks through his faith. Do you hear him? Do you hear him? How is it that Abel was a righteous man? The same way every child of God is called righteous. Abel placed his faith and trust in the coming deliverer, the promised deliverer. You can do the same today, except that deliverer has come. This deliverer is the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David, Son of Abraham, Son of God. Just like Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, Abel believed the Lord. So when we think about this story, we see the first birth recorded in Scripture, the first family recorded in Scripture. We see the first act of worship recorded in Scripture. And then because of Cain's attitude, we see the first call to repentance where God approaches Cain and pleads with him to do the right thing. And as a result of his ignoring the call of God, we see the first murder. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven and that you watch over your word to perform it. Father, my desire is to walk in the way of Abel. And I pray that for every man, woman, and child in this room. And I pray, Father, that we would resist and reject the way of Cain. Father, give us the grace to do that. We ask in Jesus' strong name. Amen.